This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and on today's program, we are talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus. You've heard of it, right? Well, our guests, to help set us straight with the right information, our guests are Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher and Dr. Lisa Flowers. Now, you can join this conversation as well. We want your questions about HPV, your comments. Call us 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. You can also tweet your questions and comments about HPV at Twitter at CCRTD. Dr. Lisa Flowers, thank you for joining us on Your Health Connection.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You know, this is something, Dr. Flowers, we've been seeing commercials. You know, there's so many commercials now for prescription drugs and all kinds of things that we used to not see on television, and certainly here on radio. HPV, human papilloma virus. Can you first define for us exactly what HPV is?
Well, interestingly enough, HPV is really multiple. It's a virus, but there's multiple over 100 types.
Really?
So that's the complexity.
So it's not one.
It's not one. There's over 100 types, and there are about 40 to 50 that infect the female and male genital organs.
Oh.
So it's a little bit complex in that case. Now, there are two important types that, and we actually number them,
really?
Which are 16 and 18, that causes the majority of cervical cancer, approximately 70%.
Really? So now this is sexually transmitted only?
Yes, majority of the cases it is. And it's very interesting when we discuss what do we mean by sexually transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, there's a lot of different definitions of that.
Right.
But it is not something that's genetic. Now, we have to understand that this virus is almost as common as the common cold.
Wait, really? HPV is that common?
Absolutely. One out of four sexually active women and men have already had contact with one of the subtypes of HPV. So very, very common. And I stress that to women because I have women coming to my office crying, upset about how did they get this virus.
They're assuming their current partner is how they got it?
Absolutely. And I tell them they really can't put a timeline to when they might have acquired the virus.
So it could have been years before. It could have been before this particular partner that you could have contracted the HPV, you know, virus. So it's not something, because a lot of people, you know, this is where it gets sticky. You're in the relationship with someone and all of a sudden the doctor has said you have HPV. Well, hold on. Who's been unfaithful? What's going on? You know, this is a real piece of news. We talk on Your Health Connection here about the impact of trying to, as a couple, get through difficult health news like cancer. You know, so now with HPV, does it lead to particular cancers?
Absolutely. And we're finding more and more every day. So it leads to cervical cancer, anal cancer, oropharyngeal cancer, which is the most common for men, penile cancer, vaginal cancer, vulvar cancer, and there's been some question in looking at lung. So it's it gets around, basically. I think that's the best way to say it. And as I mentioned to you before, it's just a virus that has been here for years, but it's been just recently, in the last several decades, that we've isolated the virus and have been testing for it just recently in the last several years to now women know, oh my God, I have this virus.
Right.
When before they never knew because we only did the pap test.
And so HPV is what we're talking about. If you are listening going, what are they talking about? We're talking about human papilloma virus, HPV. And it is common. Dr. Lisa Flowers explaining to us exactly what HPV is. Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher, at your private practice, I know you practice at Emory and also at Piedmont Hospital, and you see patients from the adolescent years through their senior citizen years. HPV, have you seen, have you been diagnosing this more? Has it become as prominent? We really never heard of it before.
I diagnose HPV every day. As the numbers suggest, 80 million, 79 million Americans have HPV, most of them in their early 20s and late teens. So yeah, it's a diagnosis that we see each and every day.
In your years of practicing medicine, are you seeing it more now than you used to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As people become more sexually active, particularly college-age students, mm-hmm. we see it now. Also, to what Dr. Flowers was mentioning, because it wasn't tested 4 years ago, we find that we're diagnosing it in women who are middle-aged and above, mm. and they are, of course, are shocked because they say, well, I didn't know about this before. Where did it come mm-hmm. from? Well, sometimes it can be a new infection, but it is more than likely an infection that was previously there that was just not diagnosed.
So that's, you know, we're listening. If you're listening and saying, wait a minute, HPV, I've seen commercials for this new vaccine for HPV, human papilloma virus. I didn't realize it was this common. If you have questions about HPV, we welcome your questions now. These are two doctors who deal with HPV every day, and they are the perfect experts to talk to us and educate us as regular folks about HPV and what we can do to keep ourselves safe. The number here, 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255, with your questions and comments about HPV for your health connection. So, Dr. Flowers, at Emory, you teach on this subject, and I know you have the Spirit Foundation where you are advocating each day for information getting out about this. You mentioned women being affected. Can you give us some statistics on how many women? I know Dr. Miller-Thrasher just told us she's seeing this every day mm-hmm. for women and men.
Absolutely. And if you look at women, let's just say this, by the time a woman is 50 years of age, 80% have been exposed to HPV.
Really?
That's how common it is. And she's already mentioned the numbers of people worldwide mm-hmm. and in the United States that have been affected by HPV. I think what's important to stress is that the majority of women within 2 to 3 years will have resolved the HPV infection and it will no longer be detectable in their body. Now, that doesn't mean they've eliminated the virus. It means their immune system has managed the virus, and at a certain point, they've been able to put the virus dormant, mm-hmm. make it go to sleep, mm-hmm. and it's undetectable by our tests. Mm-hmm. Or the copies are so low that our current tests cannot pick it up. And so I want to really provide some relief and some peace of mind mm-hmm. to women to know that, yes, maybe today we actually detect HPV, but you have a chance to resolve the infection within 2 to 3 years, and 90% of women will. And it's only that 10% that persist with that infection that, if unmonitored and mm-hmm. not watched, have a risk of developing cervical cancer.
So I actually had a patient today,
yes.
this afternoon,
really,
who had HPV on her previous pap smear, was reassured, came back again on this pap smear and came in for a colposcopy because it caused her pap smear to look abnormal. She was so concerned, but she was not just concerned, but upset because she sort of felt that she was reassured that the vast majority of cases will resolve. Mm-hmm. And why didn't her case resolve? Why is it still there? And she wanted everything done. What I had to do was, after informing her and trying to mm-hmm. make sure that she felt relieved, I had to try to explain to her that you wouldn't kill an ant with a hammer.
Right.
Because
right.
she really wanted everything, including the kitchen sink.
Well, she just wanted it gone.
She wanted it gone.
See, and as patients,
totally,
we're like, just fix
that's
it.
That's right.
How do I get rid of it tomorrow? Is there something I can do?
Right.
So
exactly.
That was probably it.
So providing the statistics that Dr. Flowers gave her, mm-hmm. I understand that it's probably going to be okay in a couple of years. She wanted it, like you said, she wanted it gone then. Mm-hmm. And so it was a long conversation, but not an uncommon one, because I'm sure we both have this conversation quite often.
So, Dr. Miller-Thrasher, what do you tell patients? What can we do to prevent HPV? Because everyone listening is going, oh, my goodness, human papilloma virus. How do I try to stay safe and not get it at all? Is there anything we can do? What do you tell your patients?
So, besides abstinence, I would say using condoms and protection would be great once they have it, which, since 80% of women will wind up testing positive at some point or at least being exposed, then I try to tell them things that will enhance their immune system so that they'll hasten the rate at which it will become not detected. So I say proper rest, proper diet, probiotics, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Decreasing stress, changing how you manage stress. So those are some of the counseling points that mm-hmm. I gave her today. And I try to almost set her expectations so that next year, should it again show that she wouldn't have the same reaction. I sure. talked to her about the fact that viruses, the reason why we have colds and flus and difficulty in treating them is because viruses are very smart. They replicate, they mm-hmm. change and modify. So it's very difficult for us and we don't have a treatment. But what we will do in her case is monitor. And if she, you know, if she enforces the things that I talked to her about, along with our monitoring, that I can almost 100% assure her that she will not have cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And I feel comfortable saying that because having practiced 27 years, I have never seen one of my patients that has come up with cervical cancer. And I think it's because proper monitoring. And if you see something, you'll take a biopsy. And if sure. the biopsy proves that it's something more significant, then we would treat it with one or more different methods.
That's interesting. And what we need to know, HPV is what we're talking about, human papilloma virus. You may have seen the commercials on television for the vaccine. Do you have questions about HPV? Call us now with those questions. 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. Dr. Flowers, the HPV vaccine, effective?
Very effective. And that's probably the primary prevention for cervical cancer is this vaccine. It's concerning because in the United States, we really only have about 40% of young girls that have been vaccinated against HPV. While in Australia and other European countries, they have been able to reduce HPV infection, genital warts, which is one of the clinical symptoms that are caused mm-hmm. by the low-risk type, mm-hmm. and they've been able to prevent precancerous changes in their populations dramatically since the introduction of the virus.
The vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Is the vaccine new? Has it been in existence longer in those countries? Is it new to the U.S.?
No, it was approved in 2006, the quadrivalent, which mm-hmm. is the one that contains four types of HPV. The problem has been in the United States is the way we've approached it. These mm-hmm. other countries, it's been school-based. In the clinic or administered in a school. In the United States, there's been a lot of hesitancy and a lot of backlash in mm-hmm. trying to really get it to be school-based and mm-hmm. given or mandatory. Mm-hmm. So because of it, a lot of young women did not receive the vaccine early enough. And remember, this is a prophylactic vaccine. It should be given prior to contact with the virus, not mm-hmm. after.
Mm-hmm.
So once mm-hmm. kids engage in sexual activity of any sort, guess what? It's not going to be as effective.
Right.
But
right.
it's 96 to 98% effective against now 90% of cervical cancer, 90% of cervical cancers that are caused by the nine types that are within the current vaccine.
Dr. Miller-Thrasher, do you recommend to your patients to get the HPV vaccine?
Absolutely. I think some of the hesitancy that we've seen in this country are similar to the hesitancies that we see with oral contraceptives. Parents, teachers, educators, and public health officials, well, perhaps not public health officials, well, the thinking is that it will promote promiscuity.
Yes. If you give them this vaccine, now you've given them license. If you give them the contraception, that is telling them it's okay to have sex. But that's not
but
the case.
But that's not the case at all. Studies have shown that it's absolutely not the case. There's no increased sexual activity, at least in the limited studies that are available, don't mm-hmm. show any increase in promiscuity. So we have a tendency in this country to think more about the possibilities as opposed to the prevention.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key, because we notice with Gardasil and some of these others that are marketed to us patients, when a patient comes to you, Dr. Miller-Thrasher, how do you counsel them through it? Because, you know, parents are thinking, really, more vaccines? How many vaccines does my child need to have? You know, I mean, really, parents are trying to weigh which vaccines are the most important without overdoing it.
I agree. And I totally understand that. I have an entirely different discussion on vaccines with respect to a personal situation in my family. Mm-hmm. I'll save that for another discussion. But I do understand that. But when moms come in with their daughters mm-hmm. To discuss vaccines, the one that they are concerned about is the HPV
yes.
vaccine. So I typically don't have to broach the conversation of the other vaccines. When we're talking about this one, I use a very similar discussion as when I'm talking about contraception. I try to say why it's necessary other than for sexual reasons, right? Ah. When I talk about oral contraceptives and I talk about why a young lady might need it, I say hormonal manipulation to make the cycles lighter, mm-hmm. to make them less painful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I try to avoid the word. When yes. I talk about HPV, I talk about it with respect to preventing and how you want to have the vaccine on board before she is sexually active. And they may not do it as early as 9, but I definitely advise them to do it before they go off to college, because
yes.
things happen.
Right. Things happen, and daughter may not share with mom or, you know, with others.
Right.
And so in a way of prevention,
exactly.
HPV, the vaccine, is available. We are talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus. You have questions? Have you really wondered about this and you didn't know who to ask? Well, you have two doctors here now on Your Health Connection to ask. Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher, Dr. Lisa Flowers are here on Your Health Connection. We need you here to call 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. Now, we've talked about the link of HPV and often leading to cervical cancer, but we did mention that there are other cancers, and I've read in the research about men, mm-hmm. you know, really being experiencing a lot of oral cancers, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks contracting HPV through oral sex as well as, you know, sexual intercourse. So can you talk a minute about that, Dr. Flowers? Because at the Spirit Foundation, you're talking about prevention and you're trying to educate from an advocacy standpoint.
Sure. Absolutely. So one of the biggest issues we've been trying to educate men and women that come into my clinic, because I actually see men. I'm a gynecologist that sees men as well.
Mm-hmm.
And largely, I talk to them about anal as well as oropharyngeal cancers. And what I try to advise them is that I don't try to change the sexual practices of my patients, because we all have to live and they have their mm-hmm. preference. But what I explain to them is that screening is very important. And if they smoke, they need to stop smoking, because we didn't talk about it, but smoking is a big risk factor for persistence of HPV infection.
Is that back to weakening the immune system or the effect on the body in terms
of
the virus?
It actually has a carcinogen that facilitates the HPV reproducing itself.
Really?
So,
okay, one more reason we need to put those cigarettes down.
Absolutely. And then, of course, I always approach it as the vaccine being a cancer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as you were mentioning, just using other reason, I kind of show parents all the physical manifestations. So I show them people who have oropharyngeal cancer, people mm-hmm. who have cervical cancer, mm-hmm. vulva cancer. And I like pictures. I think pictures really bring it home.
Oh, pictures scare us as patients. Let me just tell you.
They do.
A picture is worth 1,000 words. You don't have to explain much once we see it. But also, because as patients, we also are afraid or don't know how, really, you know, what's the language to describe what it is. When you show us a picture, we'll say, yes, okay. Now, see, now I know what to look for. Now I know. Now I understand a bit better. Also, language barriers. I'm sure
yes.
you have patients who come and speak different languages. They may not understand the full explanation in English, right?
Right. So I have a couple of programs that are Con Amor Aprendemos, which is for the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one for the African-American community, which is With Love We Learn. And
right.
that's the definition of the program. Uh-huh. And what it does is we try not to put blame for the man and the female. We instead explain that this is a virus.
Mm-hmm.
That it has the ability to cause cancer,
mm-hmm.
but that in a majority of cases, you won't develop cancer if you do the right things, which is continue to monitor yourself and get pap smears.
Mm-hmm.
When you get older, add the HPV test along with the pap smear. because it's a better test
right.
for detecting cervical cancer. And then what I try to do is explain to them all the different ways in which HPV is transmitted. And I do encourage condoms, though we know condoms don't prevent it 100%.
But they do indeed help.
They do help.
Yes.
Like 70 to 80%.
But see, that's a high percentage.
Sure.
And with the proper use of a condom, that's keeping us more safe, obviously, than not.
Right.
We're talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus. You have questions? Call now. We have two OBGYNs here who can answer your questions. 404-880-9255. Let's go to Conyers and say good evening and hello to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, good evening to you ladies. Thank you for bringing up this topic. I have a 20-year-old daughter who is going to be going off away to college, and I just wondered, what are the symptoms she has not had? She's not been, vaccinated. What are the symptoms of HPV, and how do they compare with, like, a pelvic inflammatory disease? And should I go ahead and have her, get the vaccination before she goes to college?
Yeah, you definitely want to get her vaccinated. And I would do it as soon as possible. And try to speak to your daughter about the concerns about any form of sexual activity mm-hmm. during college, because mm-hmm. that's, unfortunately, all you need is one sexual interaction. And when you look at studies that look at college students who are virgins entering college, within 3 months of sexual activity, there's evidence of HPV infection that quickly, whether it's genital warts, which is usually the case because we're not necessarily doing PAPs at young women that age. Mm-hmm. So I really, first of all, get her vaccinated, explain to her all the ways in which HPV can be transmitted. And there's no symptoms. So one of the biggest problems with HPV infection is that in most cases, it's asymptomatic. There are no symptoms. If she has symptoms, then typically we may see it in genital warts. Otherwise, the only way we can detect that somebody has had HPV infection and that its cause changes is through the PAP test.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher, your thoughts and counsel for her?
So totally. What I would add and reemphasize that Dr. Flowers just said is to emphasize all the ways in which you can contract it, because our younger generation, due to what happened with Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. now think that oral sex is not sex.
Yes.
However,
they think that's safer
somehow. That's safer. But that is the main reason why the numbers of oropharyngeal, which is mouth and throat cancers, have increased over the years, are HPV-based cancers of the throat and the mouth. And so oral sex, obviously, mm-hmm. is a contributing factor mm-hmm. for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Dr. Flowers, you had some more?
Yeah, I also want to stress, I love what she just said, that mm-hmm. they don't think that oral sex is intercourse.
Oh, a lot of people think that this is the way to get around having sex, especially the younger generation. They say, well, wait, no, I haven't had sexual intercourse. See, they just believe somehow this is less invasive, but not understanding that the same sexually transmitted diseases can be transmitted orally. They haven't even thought that far down the road.
Right. And it also, sometimes the young people like to rub against skin-to-skin contact.
Mm-hmm.
That HPV can be transmitted that way as well. But also, I have a lot of young ladies say, well, I'm a virgin, but they've had anal sex.
Oh, they haven't thought, considering.
Not considering the fact, because it wasn't penile vaginal
right.
penetration. And I think this is very important that we keep in mind, because obviously HPV loves the anal tract as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually tested people, even whether they have anal sex or not, you'll be surprised that there's more higher rates of HPV infection in the anus than in the vagina.
Oh, that's very interesting. And see, this is why we listen to Your Health Connection, because it's about learning and using this information and sharing the information. Do you have someone that needs this information? Are you listening tonight going, HPV, I had these questions, but I didn't quite understand? That's why we're here. We welcome your questions. Call us with your questions about HPV right now at 404-880-9255 or on Twitter at CCRTD. You're listening to Your Health Connection.
Did you know that the right foods can help fight prostate cancer? New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber foods reduce the risk of prostate cancer, and they may even improve your survival. And there's more good news. A diet that includes these foods can also help protect against diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. This announcement, in the public interest, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.